Welcome to the Influence Community Podcast.
We are your hosts, Danielle and Alyssa.
We talk about all things influencing and the ever-changing industry.
We share a lot of tips, our personal experiences, and how to keep up with the social media space that's always evolving.
We also love to chit-chat and share life updates along the way.
We're so happy you're here and so excited for this week's episode.
Grab your drink of choice and let's dive in.
Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Welcome back to the pod. Happy 200th episode.
That is so crazy, but also so not crazy at the same time because I feel like we've been doing this for so long. I think it's been 4 years. Actually,
okay, which yeah, is that's true.
Actually a long time to think about.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
But thank you guys for being here. Still crazy, and yes, that we've like obviously stuck with it this long and stayed committed, and obviously couldn't do it without you guys who listen weekly and support us on it. So thank you so much. But yeah, 200 is definitely crazy. That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah,
that's a lot of information so shared over the years.
I know. Sometimes we're like, what else do we talk about? And then we always have things to talk about. So,
or we're like, oh, this episode's going to be really short. Like, we probably don't have that much to say. And those are the longest ones. But
yeah.
So crazy. Okay. Well, we have a really fun episode planned this week. We're going to do our trip recap since we both went on trips recently. And then we have a really fun Q&A. And I feel like you guys submitted really good, deep, personal questions. And so I feel like this will just be a really good kind of get to know us on a more personal level this week.
Yeah, I feel like the questions were so good for the 200th episode. Like, you guys really came through. I'm ready to go in on it. So I'm excited.
Yeah. So I feel like we could start with our trip recaps. Do you want to go first?
Yes. Okay. I went to France. We did, we flew into Paris and then took a train to Provence to get kind of that like French countryside fall aesthetic. It was so beautiful, but it was
so cute.
Very hot, which you would not think it was because we were in like sweaters the whole time. But sometimes with this job, you just have to be ahead of the seasons. And sometimes the seasons aren't even ready to be ahead of the seasons, but you just got to roll with it. But it was so beautiful, very pretty. And then we spent like a day or two in Paris. And I feel like Paris is just the ultimate girls' destination.
Paris is always a good idea.
Like, I just feel like it's really cute. Like, I feel like everyone just loves seeing Paris stuff, like, for girls. We did get a lot of looks. I went with some pink girls. And we just – I don't think the Parisians are used to seeing – pink in the streets like at all. It was actually
and
really crazy.
So interesting to me because like I don't know, I guess we're just used to it here, but there it's just so shocking.
I mean I've gotten some comments on like posts in the past from girls in like Germany or, you know, European cities, and they're always like, I wish I could wear this where I'm from, but I would get so many looks. And I think just Europe in general isn't very colorful, maybe. That's the vibe I'm getting. But it was really cute and fun to kick off fall in that way. And then you went to New York.
I went to New York for a quick little trip. Yeah, I was there basically right before Fashion Week. I just felt like it would have been too much to stay through Fashion Week. And honestly, I was so tired anyway, so that was definitely a good decision. But yeah, it was really fun. We stayed at the Ludlow Hotel, which I've never stayed in that area before, but there was literally a Frankie shop and a Bon Bon candy store down the street from, like, literally.
Oh my
gosh. And then, you know, that brand on Revolve, I think it's called Bucci or Boosie, maybe B-U-C-I.
Oh yeah, they're so cute.
They had a store randomly somewhere around the corner too. I didn't have time to go to it, but I was just kind of shocked at all the things around. So it was really fun. I really wanted to stay at that hotel for literally the bathroom. And it was
oh yeah,
that's
so cute.
Yeah, it was a good trip. We went for Erin Fader, my fave jewelry designer. You guys know I talk about her all the time. She was doing a storefront pop-up for her brand. And so just wanted an excuse to travel, basically. Yeah. Get one more trip in. So she hosted a few events that we went to, and then we ate at a lot of yummy food places. And I realized this was my first trip to New York without any dietary restrictions, which was honestly kind of crazy. And honestly, it was so good. Like, it was
because it changed
the experience.
And like, wait, because it's like, when you're pregnant, your
allergies think just because I'm pregnant, yeah. I've been eating gluten and dairy completely normal and been like pretty fine. I'll get a breakout here and there, but like not compared to what it was like before I was pregnant.
Well, you used to be like throwing up in the morning, like sick all morning.
So yeah, it was crazy, but it was so fun to eat all the yummy food. Like, we went to Mammo, and I always have to get like gluten-free, dairy-free meal, and I got the meal normal, and it was so yummy. I'm trying to think where else. You know that film
Corner Store.
Coffee shop? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It's a restaurant too, so we went to Fellini, and then where else did we go? But we did Corner Store, and that was so yummy. That was like probably one of the best meals of my entire life. Like, they had this lobster caviar roll, and I feel like people think that's like a sushi roll, but it's a lobster roll on a bun with caviar on top.
Yeah, that's
that
crazy.
Was so good. They had these like pizza bites, basically like an adult luxe version of a pizza bite.
Love
and
that.
They were so good. The fries are really good, honestly. Just we asked the waiter, like, what should we get? And we basically just got everything he said. And then I think the dessert was like a, you know, the Girl Scout cookie. I think it's the Samoa.
Those it's are like, my favorite.
It's like, it was like an ice cream sundae, like created after that cookie, basically. It was
yum. So good. It was my favorite cookie.
Yeah. So
love that.
That was so yummy and so fun. And I'm so happy that happened, because literally I was manifesting it the whole trip. We would drive by it so much, and I always would take a picture of the sign and just like really hoped it would happen. And it did. So
manifesting queen.
That was great. And then, yeah, just walking around Soho, content, a little shopping. I'm trying to think, like, we didn't go too crazy. Went to Poland. Got a bag, went to Frankie shop, got a jacket. I feel like you just can't not not get something at the Frankie shop when you go.
Wait, was it the burgundy jacket?
No, I got like kind of the one that we both have that's like a bomber but a little cinched. But the one I got has a hood, and it's a little like more bubbly. Like,
what color?
It's black.
Cute.
But I loved the hood, that it came with the hood, so that was really fun. I'm trying to think. That was like mainly it. And then, yeah, I used points and was able to fly first round trip, which was so nice. And our route back from JFK to San Diego had the Shake Shack. Was it Shake Shack? Shake Shack option.
I saw
as
that.
As a meal.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun.
That's
to
crazy.
Be able to get that meal, because it's only on like certain routes, and I think you have to be flying out of JFK, so on Delta, of course. But yeah, so it was a good trip. I feel like we packed a lot into, I think I was there like 5 days, maybe like not like maybe six with travel counted, but yeah, packed a lot in and did like a few pre-New York Fashion Week things. Went to one showroom and for the experience, and yeah, it's a pretty good trip. And I feel like that's pretty much my last trip until I give birth, I think. Like, I just can't see myself doing more travel.
Yeah,
really. That's pretty much my trip recap. What is your current influence? I feel like our influences this week relate to our trips.
Yes, my influence this week, and I don't think I said this before. I tried to go back and look, and I don't think I said it, but is Hunter boots. I feel like this is like, they're so cute. I just feel like this is such a cute little fall transition boot to wear. I feel like the girlies love Hunter boots right now, especially just with like a big chunky sweater. I think that just like screams fall. And that I actually had an excuse to wear them, because if I was like walking around San Diego in these Hunter boots, like, I just don't, I don't envision that for myself right now. Maybe, yeah. Honestly, maybe I'll bring them to the guild at some point. Like, probably yeah. will, but I didn't feel too out of place where I was shooting them. The ones that I have, I don't know how, I'm unfamiliar with hunter boots and how they work, okay? I think they have like color drops or maybe different season colors, because the boots that I have, I could not find anywhere. I had to buy them secondhand on Poshmark, and it's like a really perfect like candy pink. The one that they have right now is like a very pale neutral pink on their website, and that's like the only version and model they have of these hunter boots. So, well, at least for pink. So yeah, I don't know why they're like sold out everywhere, and I'm interested to see if there's more drops. Like
consistent colors.
Yeah, and styles. I think it's like, I was looking, and I think it's more so in the UK, which I guess makes sense. Like, I don't know, but I think it's more, I think they might be a UK brand. I'm not sure, but all the UK sites have them, and they like don't ship to the US, which is super weird. So
interesting.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but if you are looking for the pair I have or for a different color that you cannot find on the website, probably check Poshmark, because there are so many on Poshmark. But yeah, I love them. They're so cute, so comfortable. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like unfamiliar with the world of hunter boots. Very curious how, if it's just like a yearly drop or what. But interesting. Anyways, yeah. What is your influence of the week?
My influence is the Louis Vuitton Nano Speedy that I got in New York. Obsessed with it. It's so useful. And like, I feel like you wouldn't think that about it because it's so small, but it literally fits everything you need, like your wallet, lip gloss, car keys, mints, my little mint pack. My phone will fit if I need it to, like it will go in, but I feel like I always hold my phone in my hand anyway. Yeah. And like, it's so easy to just grab and like run errands with, or like, I don't know. I've been using it just so much since I've been back. So yeah, that's my current influence, because I'm kind of obsessed with.
I love her.
They have like vintage ones or older ones on resale websites, and they're basically the same price, which is kind of crazy.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. So yeah, love that purchase. Super exciting. And we'll pass it down to baby girl when she's here, you know?
Like, how baby girl has the best closet. Like, truly the best closet right now.
Yeah. So yeah. So such a great investment, in my opinion.
Yeah. Totally.
But yeah, also speaking of boots, really fast, this is like a pregnancy thing that I was not expecting, but I could not zip my Tony Biancos up all the way in New York. And I just was not expecting that, because looking at myself, I'm like, I don't think my calves have gotten bigger.
Maybe it's just a swollen thing.
Maybe just like,
I think that's what pregnant people say. Yeah, I think your feet get swollen.
I had no idea. Go to like put my outfit on for the night, zip these boots up, and they zip up half, like, okay, like 3/4 of the way. And I still wore them because I was like so dark, and I'm like, you can't even see, but.
That's so funny.
But I was like, not expecting.
I think that's a thing with like pregnancy, your feet get swollen, and I'm sure that like affects your like calves or something.
Yeah. And I think I've been able to not hold as much, like, whether that's like water retention or whatever, because I think being consistent with Pilates and weightlifting has really helped.
Yeah.
But when I went to zip that boot up and it did not zip, I was like, oh, yeah. Okay then. Well,
like, okay.
So yeah, that was definitely interesting. And like, yeah, so I'm not going to buy any boots this season because they're just not even going to fit anyway. So. It's fine. Yeah. It's what it is. But okay. So yes, like we said, this week's episode is a really good Q&A. It's more personal, deeper questions, less of kind of the standard questions that we typically get about like engagement or pitching or Instagram specifically, but more just like, I don't even know how you would describe these questions. Like,
yeah, I don't even know. I feel like they're just like
more personal experience.
Yeah, like personal experience specifically, also like in this field too. So I feel like,
yeah,
I would love related to this episode. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like we can just dive in and get started because there's so many good questions. So got to make sure we get to them all. Okay. First one is, been here since the beginning, and why am I in my feels that this is episode 200? What's a lesson you've been learning in this current season of life? First of all, thank you for
being here.
So sweet.
Like, so sweet. And the person who asked this is our listener of the week.
Love that.
Like, all these questions are so good. Okay. A lesson you've been learning in this current season of life. Okay. I feel like for me, it would be like, I feel like I'm just having fun this year, honestly. And I think I'm taking things less serious. And that has been very, very, like, I don't even know freeing? What to say. Like, yeah, like, it's been very instrumental for, like, where I am right now. And I feel like I'm just comparing mental states in this job from last year to this year. It's very different. And I think there's a question about this that I'll get more into later in the episode. But yeah, I had like a crash out last year in December. And I think
that's because you traveled for 5 weeks straight internationally.
But I was, there was like so much leading. There was like multiple things contributing into that. So, and there's like a question about this, but anyways, but yeah, so had a crash out. And then I feel like since then I'm like, okay, I'm releasing all pressure from myself this year. Like, I am genuinely just going to have fun. And that I made that like my goal of the year and my vision board, which is another question I'll get into. But I feel like I've really stuck to it. And I'm just like learning a lot of different things. I'm taking different courses. I'm trying to just like get out of my comfort zone.
Like,
and just
related to social media.
Yeah.
Like personal things.
Yes. Like more personal things, and also trying to like do things outside of this job. So, but I think overall the lesson I'm learning is to like not take things too seriously, especially this job. And I don't need to be like hustling 24/7 just to prove to myself that I can do it. Cause I think that's like ultimately what I was doing. And I'm like, wait, who am I trying to prove this to? Like, I really don't need to be proving anything to anyone. But I think that comes with like being your own boss and working for yourself. I think that's just like a trait I like clung to, because in the beginning I was like so hard on myself being my own boss. And like when you have your own company, it's like you are the only person like motivating yourself and like getting yourself to do things. So I think I'm ready to let go of that. And like, I know I can get things done and I can like have fun along the way. So
love that.
Yeah. What about you?
Okay. A lesson I've been learning in this current season of life for me, which is like very, very hard to do, but kind of similar in a way, but I would say going with the flow more and just like letting things happen as like they're meant to be, they're supposed to happen. And like, yeah, also like not putting pressure on certain things and just kind of, going with the flow. And like, as a type A Capricorn, that's a very hard thing for me to do. So, but then also being pregnant, I kind of feel like you also don't really have a choice. Like, for me, the first, like, I had this whole situation at the beginning of the year where there was like a management change. And then unfortunately, the old contract had me in a clause that I had to wait out, basically, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And then usually when you transition managements, it kind of takes a little bit to get the ball rolling again. So I feel like I kind of had this like really slow 3 month period of not a lot of work coming in, but also in retrospect, that was my first trimester and I was ill. So I'm like, I don't even think I would have been able to really do much anyway. So it was kind of like a blessing in disguise where like, I wasn't really getting work, but also could I have even done it? Probably not. So
That's so true.
Looking back and reflecting, that was obviously like meant to be and like, you know, totally fine and like not a super big deal. But in the moment of that, it felt like a really big deal, even though I literally would not have really ever been able to do much. Like it, like at that time I was just had no energy. Like doing my hair or makeup would have been my activity for the day. And then there would have been no energy to actually film the thing. So Yeah, so that I think is one of the biggest lessons. And then just obviously through my second trimester now where I'm at is kind of still just going with the flow and like accepting that like some days I just don't have the energy.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Okay. Where it's like I used to have that mindset of like, I have to be productive. I have to be doing X, Y, Z. I have to be doing this many things. I have to go to this many events. I have to say yes to every event that I'm invited to. Like that kind of mindset to now just really, because my energy is so low and I have to conserve it, it's almost forcing me to like really evaluate choices and like, is this event or thing or whatever worth my energy? Like, do I want to be going to it? Like really just like evaluating every little thing now and like being able to say, no, I can't make it and not feeling bad about it and knowing I'm like protecting my peace basically. I think it's probably the main lesson. And when you're kind of forced in it because you're pregnant, it does help a lot. Whereas like, if I wasn't, it would be really hard to make those decisions. But yeah. And then also you're just like, I feel like your priorities are like kind of start to shift and what's important kind of starts to shift. Like, I don't need buckets and buckets of free product anymore. Like, I can be a little more selective, like not say yes to everything just to like create clutter in my house, like to be just really thoughtful of what I'm saying yes to so that I know if I say yes to something that it's something I genuinely love and want to share. So yeah.
That's love that. Leaning a little bit out of your Capricorn sun and more into your Libra rising.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think that's probably the biggest lesson in this.
I love that. That's a good one. It's a really good one.
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been great. And I feel like once I finally let myself relax, I was like, oh, actually, this is really nice. Kind of like this.
Yeah, I know. So, literally.
Yeah. And it's nice too, because I feel like it's like very important for me during my pregnancy that I stay consistent with working out. That's just something personally that I have chosen to do. And that's important to me because I am eating the dairy and the gluten. Mm-hmm. So I just like have this ice cream craving all the time. So I'm like working out. Like the days that I work out, I feel the best and the most productive, because it's like if I sit down all day, then I kind of feel tired. But sticking with Pilates and weightlifting, I think have really just helped me mentally, physically, everything throughout the pregnancy so far. So I feel like being able to choose that and like being like, okay, I can't go to the event on Thursday because I have weightlifting Wednesday and I know my energy will not be there, but I'm prioritizing the weightlifting class versus the event or whatever.
Yeah.
As an example. Makes so sense. Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
Love it. That's a good place to be.
Yeah. Next question is, what's the biggest lesson you've learned in your career?
Okay, so in this career as a content creator, definitely, I think my biggest lesson I've learned is hitting a milestone number won't magically open doors or give you the feeling that you think you're chasing, give you the feeling you think it will. This has happened every single milestone for me. Like, I just like, I feel like I finally learned my lesson this year with it, but I think that's so normal. Even in your subconscious, like, you think once you hit X amount of whatever, like followers or X amount of engagement, I don't know, whatever is in your head for the milestone, like, you think you're gonna like magically change and everything's gonna come to you and like everything's gonna be different. But then I remember I like hit that number and I realized like, wait, this, I feel the exact same. Nothing has changed. It does not feel like how I thought it was going to be. And I remember I wrote this journal entry. I remember this day so vividly. I hit this milestone number. I wrote a journal entry and like, I remember it just feeling so like quiet. Like, I was just like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be like. And then that's when I had to go in and do the internal work. Obviously, we talk about how we go to therapy, like talked about it in therapy. And like, I think I learned like this industry and this career can really easily be disguised as like you're I don't know how to say this. Like, you're kind of just like relying on outside validation a lot of the time. And I think a lot of us don't realize that. And hitting these milestone numbers are like, that's also an example of the outside validation thing. So learning how to give that validation back into yourself and understanding like no number or milestone can replace the confidence and fulfillment that comes from giving it to yourself. So that was a huge one. And now I do not ever create like these like imaginary things that are going to make me feel better, because like there's always something deeper you're seeking in that. And then you need to learn how to give that to yourself. So yeah,
love that.
That's mine. What about you?
I think for me, mine would be just very overarching of my career and one of my favorite mantras of just like, you don't get what you don't ask for in life. And just like along the way, like it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for more budget. It's okay to ask to bring a plus one to event. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's okay to ask questions about your contract. Like, I feel like we get so nervous or hesitant to ask questions because we're burdening someone, or like if we just don't take it right away, someone else is going to be chosen. Yeah. But then was it really meant for you anyway if you weren't aligned? But I don't know. I just feel like being able to like speak up and voice anything in this industry, I think, is really valuable. Because I feel like creators can get taken advantage of, especially by bigger platforms who are just kind of mass onboarding influencers for campaigns and whatnot. If you just take, you know, what's being offered, you never know. Like, maybe if you ask for higher budget, you know, you could get that, or ask to negotiate the exclusivity or usage or whatever it is. That it's like, it's okay to ask. And I feel like it's great, like, because sometimes when I see the communication of my management with the brands and they're asking all these questions, I'm like, oh, this is so normal to ask questions or give pushback on things that, or even just ask about things that you don't really understand. I think will get you really far in your career, because once you have a better understanding, then you can approach the next situation even more confident with a better understanding of a situation and kind of know like maybe what's standard and what's not. Because I feel like in this industry, there isn't a lot of standardized practices for the most part. It's kind of all over the place. So I think I think asking questions is a way to advocate for yourself. And so being able to stand up for yourself and advocate and just really have an understanding of what's happening and going on is like a really good thing to be able to do in this industry. And so I feel like that's really kind of carried me through since the beginning, is being able to do that, I think.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest lesson I think I've learned, or like not asking and then you find out that like maybe your friend asked for more budget and they got it and you didn't ask, and like all it took was asking a question, and like the worst they're gonna say is no.
So
I feel like that's probably mine. And then I guess another thing too, we talk about this a lot, is, well, I guess this is kind of like, maybe I'll just save this for like cons and like the not glamorous side. Okay. So the next question is, what's on your 2025 vision board that you already crossed off?
Okay. Honestly, you guys, like half of my vision board is like girls sleeping, like pretty girls sleeping, like Aurora. It's giving princesses sleeping, because that's like what I needed to do this year, and I feel like I've done that. So yeah, we've got that down. I also had photos, honestly. Okay, this really goes with my first thing that I said about like the lesson I'm leaning into this season of life, because a lot of my vision board was just having fun, honestly. Like, I had a lot of the Ritz, and this was literally before we decided we were going to stay at the Ritz. And then I ended up staying there twice this year. And then I had girls with like huge bouquets of flowers, and that happened at the Ritz. I have a lot of feelings on my vision board. Like, I have a lot of like feeling peace and feeling grounded. And recently someone told me like that is how, that's what they experience like when they're talking to me. Like they think I'm very like grounded and like have my like stuff together and just have this like just like peaceful, grounded vibe. And that was the first time I heard that from someone ever in my life. And I feel like I've worked so hard to get here, and I was really thankful for that comment. So that was crossed off.
I love that.
And I feel like I have this quote, like luckiest girl in the world on here. And I just, I don't know. I feel like I've had that feeling a lot this year. I feel like it's been a really good year. So, oh, and lots of travel, of course. lots of travel, not done yet. So, honestly, a lot. I feel like most of it is checked off because I had just like having fun, realistic things on my vision board. I really like my vision board this year. What about you?
Love that. So this year, I never got around to making one, and there was only two things on my vision board this year. babies and Birkins. So
way obsessed. B&B.
Yeah, so obviously pregnant, so checked that one off.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm still on the hunt for, I think I want like a, it's like a vintage, it's called a vintage boxed Kelly. I think box is the type of leather. Okay. So I've kind of switched from a Birkin to a Kelly because since I already have the Birkin in gray, I thought Birkin in black too. But it's a, vintage box Kelly 28 gold hardware.
Okay, cute. Oh, one just literally, wait, one
send
is
me,
like.
Send me the link.
Wait, you have to buy this. I'm not even joking right now. I'm confused. it's on the RealReal and it's like $7,000.
I've seen a couple listings. I'm in some Facebook groups too because I just like to track the market and see what people are doing. And I've seen a couple for like between like six and seven.
I've just like never seen one for that price, but maybe I'm only seeing Birkins instead of Kellys Kellys. Okay.
And it's because it's a bigger Kelly. It's not the small one. But I like how the bigger one looks. But anyways, that was my vision board this year. I just didn't want to put a lot of pressure on it and had those two things and I was just gonna let everything and else happen how it happened. And I just feel like when you want to get pregnant and you're planning, it's really hard to plan other things too. So I really this year, knowing that I wanted to get pregnant this year, didn't want to set myself up for disappointment in a way that if I did get pregnant, then I would be missing out on a trip I couldn't go on anymore or like had things like pre-booked or pre-planned. Like I was just kind of go how I was feeling, if I was pregnant, if I was not pregnant, because you just never know how it's going to happen. So that was kind of my approach to this year, because last year I was like, go, 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 travel, do all the things, whatever. And then this year is like, okay, we got, I'm just going to leave the calendar open, take it month by month, see what happens. And then obviously got pregnant in March. So have been like making decisions on a monthly basis based on how I feel. So that was kind of my, that's why my vision board was just a baby.
I think that's honestly really smart though.
So, I just wanted to have a healthy mindset about things. And not obsess over trips or like put pressure on getting pregnant at a certain time so that I could go somewhere at a certain, like, it just is a lot emotionally and mentally, and I just like did not want to be in that kind of mindset. So I was like, I would rather just have low stress, prioritize like being healthy for getting pregnant, and then go and make plans based off that, if that makes sense. It was like my mindset about it. So and then as you guys can see, I've been traveling when I can based on how I feel and whatnot. We'll see, but I'm manifesting that my next trip is Coachella 2026 to see Justin Bieber.
Oh my god, yeah, that's so crazy.
Because like I was like, I'll be 4 months postpartum, I think I can like get away for a night or two, like I think it'll be okay. Palm Springs is like so close, it won't be anything crazy.
Okay, love that.
So yeah,
love that.
Manifesting Justin Bieber next year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's But yeah, sorry, my vision board was like not deep this year.
Yeah,
but
no, I think it was perfect though.
Like I feel like what it needed was, like, to the be. Biggest thing. So yeah. Okay, next question. How old are y'all and how did you guys become blogger besties?
I'm 29.
I'm 31.
And we met in 2018 at an event in San Diego. Yeah. We both went. I think I DM'd you and I was like, are you going to this? I can't really remember. I think I DM'd you and like two other girls and was like, oh, are you guys going to this? I remember I was so scared. And then I think that's, we all like met up at a coffee shop before and then went to the event. Mm-hmm. And that, I feel like that was our first like hangout and like getting to know each other. And then I feel like the rest was history. But I remember so nervous sending that text like to you and two other girls, like, are you guys going to this event? Like, I was so nervous. That's your sign if you want to message a girl, ask if they're going to something or just set up something with someone in your area who's like doing what you're doing, like do it because it will work out. I'm sure of it. And if it doesn't, it wasn't meant to be.
And I think then we just kept going. I feel like at that time, San Diego was having a lot of blogger events and they were called blogger events. Yeah. And they were just on the rise.
They were not and, like, called influencers.
It was blogger events. And
we were all like just starting out, like everyone, I feel like.
And going to them, like you would make friends and you'd see them again at the next one and then the next one. And I feel like after you see a person a certain amount of times at an event, you kind of just become friends because you're just crossing paths. And then it's do you want to shoot content? Yeah, I don't want to shoot by myself with my tripod anymore. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
I feel like that's kind of like how it grows.
Yeah. And I think like in this industry, it's so cool because it's so easy to make friends because you already have a common ground, no matter like where you're from, like what you like we all have a common ground of like, this is what we're doing. And we're kind of all building up to this common goal of like making this our career or job. So I just think it's a really cool thing we can all connect on right off the bat. And I don't know, there's like so much to talk about already there. I feel like it's really making that sense. And especially at
the time, the industry was so like hush hush, gatekeeping. Like people didn't really talk about anything. So it was really helpful to have friends who you could talk about things to or be like, what rates to charge brands. Because like truly it felt like the wild, wild west. Like it was so new. There was just no, I don't know. It's very hard to describe because it's so different from now. There was just like no, like there still aren't a ton of rules, but like there was no rules.
Yeah.
Like there were girls with the same following who would charge $20 and someone with the same following was charging $2,000. Like it was, unless you were talking people, you would have no idea.
You had no idea.
So, yeah.
And management wasn't a thing. Like,
unless you had like 100 to 500K plus, like,
right,
basically. So I feel like right time, right
come
place
a long way.
Right. Okay, next question is, what are some cons of influencing / social media, like the not so glamorous side of it? What struggles have you guys faced as content creators?
Okay, for me personally, my biggest con that I kind of struggle with every single day is like turning this job off. I can't do it. Like, I seriously can't. I'm still struggling and I'm still working on it. I'm really trying to turn it off at night, but at night is when I post my reel. And so it's like, I get through the whole day doing my emails, my content, like whatever I need to be doing during the day, like editing. And then I turn it off for, I want to say like an hour. It's really bad. I really need to figure this out. Even though I just said I'm like having fun. Okay. This is really contradictory, but like, I'm working on it.
I mean, but I feel like I think about this a lot. And another way I also think about it is like, how blessed are we that we love something so much that it doesn't feel like work and it's so fun. And that, like, we would say this in early, early episodes that like, we would do this even if we weren't getting paid. And like just a genuine like passion and love for the industry, for fashion, for connection with you guys. Like,
yeah,
it's so hard to like create that distinction because it's like you love it, right? But then like, where's the
break? But then like you never turn off. Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, interesting because I'm just noticing this, and like then I really need to turn this off. My screen time notifications are legit scary. But yeah, I was like talking to my psychiatrist because I'm getting finally medicated for my ADHD, which has also been instrumental in turning it off, because I feel like I'm actually managing my ADHD. I feel like I can actually get the tasks done and then I can like turn it off. But anyways, I was telling my psychiatrist, like, she asked me how many hours I work a day, and I was like maybe 10 to 12, like if I had to guess. Yeah, like I don't really stop. And then she was like horrified, and I was like, oh, that's not normal. I'm like, oh, okay, like interesting. She's like, no, like you need to turn it off. So yeah, that's something I'm working on, even though I just said it's for fun. I feel
like
the toxicity
in my head is like, but does she get it?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, because it's like, yeah, that's what it takes. But then I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. I am still working on the balance, even though I just said like having fun this year, but I am still working on the balance. And this is like a daily struggle and like con, I guess, of the industry, which it probably doesn't sound like that. But I was at this thing where this big influencer was like talking about, someone asked her what the biggest like downside of this industry is. And she said the hate that she gets. And I'm like, I guess it's just so different for everyone, because like, I do not care about the hate. And like, if I have a video go viral, like I'll get a lot of hate. That is like, I don't care at all. It's genuinely just like not being able to turn it off for me. So I think this is very different for everyone. But yeah. I guess that's mine. But yeah, again, like you said, it is really cool. Like, I do love it so much that I don't want to turn it off. But then sometimes I'm like, I don't know how to turn it off. And then I'm just sitting there like on my phone for 12 hours. And I'm like, oh, I should go touch grass. And that's what I've been doing recently. So what's your biggest con?
But I feel like probably the most standard one across the industry that I feel like most people would probably agree with is the inconsistent pay. Like, you're not getting paid every 2 weeks. Like, it can be so inconsistent, because it's like, you know, some brands pay on a net 30, a net 60, and then so it's like you complete the work and then you have to wait 30 to 60 days for that paycheck.
Yeah.
And so like, that's kind of a very stressful part about it, but I feel like you do get used to it as time goes on. But it is like interesting to think about that.
It's weird, like, why is this industry 30 days? I mean, maybe that's like for contractors, that's like normal, but
yeah,
it is weird.
But why?
I know, you have like the money. Everyone gets 2 week paychecks, but yeah, okay.
So I feel like that is probably like a standardized thing that is a con about the industry, or just like not the glamorous side, is like you have to get really good at budgeting and like knowing what's coming in and like continuing to like pitch and do outreach, even if you are doing really well, because it's like, once those payments come through, like, you're getting like larger chunks at a time, but it could be months apart, basically. So I feel like that. And then the not so glamorous side, again, is, I feel like I could list like a bunch of different small things, but I feel like the inconsistency of the algorithm, or the unpredictability of it, how it's always changing, is kind of a not glamorous side about it, because I feel like engagement goes up and down, and that's also a not glamorous side about it. Like, you could literally be posting same kind of content, same thing, and something changes or switches overnight, and then all of a sudden you see like a drastic drop. Like, I don't know, I feel like I've seen a lot of people talk about this lately, but like their carousel posts are now doing better in reach than reels. Have you seen that?
Like, have I seen people post about it?
Yeah, like people talk about it.
I don't think so. That's really interesting.
I've seen like a couple people like starting to talk about that, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's like Instagram has pushed reels for so long, but now are carousel posting better. So it's like, that's always hard. And just kind of the ups and downs of the industry. It's so funny. My husband has a client who he does software development, and it's in social media. So he's like learning all these things now. And he's like, literally today, he was like, I just don't understand how you can deal with like maybe two similar posts and one goes viral and does insanely well and then the other one just like tanks and bombs. Like,
I literally,
how do you deal with that? And I'm like, welcome to my life. Like, it's just kind of like a norm of the industry at this point. But
yeah,
I feel like that's just like a not glamorous side of it is like you can be doing what you've been doing and then all of a sudden there's a shift and then all of a sudden it just like tanks and like you're just trying to climb out of it. And like, it's just like the inconsistency thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like it's, I feel like that's kind of like one of the biggest things that stands out for me. But yeah, I feel like for the most part, we've been like really lucky with like meeting really great people, really nice people. Obviously there's bad seeds here and there, but no one's forcing you to be friends with them. Like you don't have to be friends with everyone. And I feel like the people we have come across have been really good. So I feel like in terms of cons, those would probably be my things, like the inconsistent pay, the inconsistent algorithm, and just the inconsistencies across the platform in general. Yeah. So, yeah. Also, I don't know if you saw, but they posted on the creators page about how stories, if you used to post one story, it did really, really well. And then if you posted like 10 or whatever, they would just like tank.
Okay.
Apparently they're trying to fix that, or they say that's not the case anymore.
That's so funny because I've actually noticed that recently.
Really?
Because yes, I have noticed that, and I didn't even see that post. So that's really, I'm glad you said that because I did not see that post. But recently with my recaps, and like if I post a video, if I repost something, if I whatever, like if I have at least 10 stories up, they tank. They have not been tanking recently, and I have noticed that, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Like, I wonder if something's changing. So I think that's true. I feel like that's coming back. I will say though, when I do repost something, it tanks. So I feel like if I repost someone's story, like if someone tags me and I repost it, for some reason, everything will tank. But like, still, sometimes I want to like repost stories. So like, I just have to forget about it. But I have to keep in mind, like, if I repost someone's story that they tag me in, my stories are probably not going to do super well. But I have noticed like the 10 stories at a time, it's been fine. So we're making slow moves, slow progress.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like for me, I just get to a certain point where I'm like, I want to repost this, or like, I just need to recap this trip and move on. And so then there's like 20 stories up, and it's just like, I'd rather just post the stories because I want to, and like really don't want to let that number affect me. And I'm like, not every story has to perform perfectly and do super well and like be a hit, you know?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I feel like I want to focus more on storytelling stories and like telling the story of like the day or the experience or whatever it is, and like not focus on like, oh, gotta let my story expire. Okay, story's expired. Gotta post one.
Same. I'm so tired.
And I'm like, I have so many things I want to share and I want to post, but then Instagram is putting us in this box of like, you cannot post one story. Like, cool. You know what I mean? So I feel
God they're fixing that, because we want to share our stories. Like, we're trying to post. Don't you want us to post?
Exactly. So I feel like I saw that.
Okay. So good to know.
Yeah. Okay. Next one is, what is your favorite and least favorite thing about being an influencer?
Okay. I feel like for me and my page specifically, my favorite thing is inspiring like women and helping them connect more to their femininity and helping them kind of like rediscover their love for pink. I think that's like a thing, and I've seen people say this, like loved some, I don't know what I've seen people say, but they say something like, loved myself so hard, or loved me so hard that I started loving pink again. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen
that? Yeah.
Okay. Like, that's the vibe that I think is my favorite thing, because I feel like that's kind of like what my page is about. I think pink is weirdly a very, I don't remember the word I'm looking for, but it's like very, I don't know, people like stop and like they'll like really analyze if you're like in an airport and like you're wearing pink, people like look at you, and I don't know, it's like this controversial color, I feel like, where some people think it's too girly and ditzy and like you're dumb if you wear pink, and then I don't know. I think it's like intimidating, but I think it's, I don't know, ultimately connecting women back to their femininity. And I don't know. I think that's what my page is really all about. So that's my favorite thing. And I love when people tell me that, and just like inspiring women in general. But, and to be more girly, but the least favorite thing is kind of what you were saying earlier, I think, is just letting go of all control, because you literally have no control in this industry. It kind of sucks that, yeah, like you said, like you can be posting the same thing and it will literally go viral. And then the next week it'll just tank. And I think just knowing you don't have control over that is really hard. But I think once you release that control, that's the main lesson. So yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that's when we talk about like posting something because you love it, yes, regardless of the result that it's going to give you. And just knowing at the end of the day, it's going to reach a certain audience and hopefully it reaches the right person. And even if you can inspire one person, that's amazing.
Yes, exactly.
So
yeah. What's your favorite and least favorite thing?
I think favorite thing about being an influencer is just creating and connecting with an audience and how it translates into real life, whether it's with other creators and becoming like really good friends, lifelong friends, or if it's like someone who follows you and really likes your style and they come up to you and say hi and like how they love your content or how they've really connected to something that you've shared. Like, I feel like those are some of the most, I feel like, special feelings you can feel, that you're getting like friendships out of social media. Cause I remember when I first started, my now husband at the time, like boyfriend, was like, what's the point of social media and talking to strangers you're never gonna see, basically. But it's like, I feel like when I moved to San Diego, I was right out of college, had no friends, like just work basically. And social media was how I made my friends in San Diego, which was a lifesaver, honestly, because don't know how I would have made friends.
Yeah.
But I think that's like a really cool part of it that a lot of people don't ever really talk about or realize or share. It's just like the personal connections that you get to make with people, whether it is in real life or virtual on social media, and like being able to like talk to people and you meet them and you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I've known you for years and like this is the first time we're meeting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally.
I love that. And then also it's really cool to get to work with brands that you like loved in high school and college too. Like that full circle moment is so fun. And then least favorite thing is probably just the pressures and expectations and the numeric value put on influencers, kind of like they're not people, like you're a number basically. Like sometimes, so I feel like that's really hard, because it's like you could like love your content and love the story you're sharing, and maybe like your engagement's not great right now because it's just a down in social media and it will go back up, and you know that. But brands are like, no, sorry, like we're looking for this number of engagement, this number of link clicks, this number, whatever. And yeah, then you feel like you're a number, and then you feel like you're not good enough. And then it's right, like that downward spiral, yeah, that they send you into basically. But I feel like that's probably my least favorite thing, is like feeling like I'm not good enough, or just being like, yeah, why would a brand want to work with me right now? My engagement sucks. My content sucks. Like I suck, you know, like that just like mental breakdown, that mentee be that we influencers have. So that's probably like the least favorite thing. And then, like you said, at that point, you just have to let it go because you can't control it. It is what it is. And what's meant for you will find you. So
yeah, I feel like it's honestly so important that we're talking about this right now, because like no one talks about this. Where do people talk about this? I have never seen anyone talk about this. So hopefully you guys like don't feel so alone. And like, I feel like, oh my God, if I had this starting out, like would have saved me a lot of therapy too, honestly. Like,
yeah,
so real.
Or like how you were talking about earlier, like how you said, oh, you would hit this milestone and then you would like think all these amazing things would happen. I genuinely thought that when I got pregnant. I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. All these opportunities are going to come. And then I've slowly realized, like, I think brands, like some brands, which is kind of weird to say, but I feel like some brands like don't want to work with pregnant people, which is like fine. Maybe that's not their image. That's not what they're marketing to, whatever. But it's like, okay. So they don't want to work with you when you're pregnant. So you, like, you're pregnant. But then there's brands who want the content of like the baby because you need to use the products on the baby. So it's like you don't have the baby yet. So you can't do those partnerships because you don't have the baby yet. You know, like you can't put a diaper on air. You need to put the diaper on the baby.
Yeah.
Or you can't like push the stroller around without the baby. You need the baby and the stroller to push the stroller. Right. I'm so like you have all these things like post birth, postpartum.
Yeah.
So like being pregnant, you're like, yeah. And then it's like, no, it's like, yeah. Actually, like,
I'm sure brands actually, are scared. Like, we would
love to work with you once we're like, okay, I get it. But it's just funny because you like have this expectation or you think something's going to be a certain way when you hit this certain milestone thing and then it's not. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Next one is, what's your favorite attribute about yourselves?
So cute. Love that question. I feel like right now my favorite attribute about myself is I feel like I have a very open mind and open heart. And I feel like I'm just in this era that I'm just like learning a lot. And I also love to like share it with other people. And I can see how it will I see when I'm learning and then sharing with other people, it really hits with them. And I just feel like I'm learning all these things in like therapy and like with my dietitian. And I don't know. I feel like I'm just learning so much that I'm sharing with other people. And I'm realizing a lot of people like need to hear these things and like haven't heard these things that I'm learning. I don't know if that makes sense, but I guess like open mind, I have a very open mind and open heart. And I really love my love for learning new things. I think that's what I love right now. What about you?
Let me think. Like attribute is like a characteristic, like a,
yeah, I guess. I don't even know if mine like counted as that, but like favorite thing. It's kind of like a crazy question. So like maybe right now I had to answer it as if like in this moment. That's my favorite thing about myself right now.
Okay. I see. Okay. I feel like for me, one of my favorite attributes about myself is like, I feel like it's hard to put into words. Okay. Let's see. Like, I love that I am a go-getter and if there's something I want, like I will work hard to get that or manifest it. And like, it literally drives my husband crazy because he's like, you literally get everything you want. And I'm like, not in like a bratty way, but like, it's because if I set my mind to something, then I will do like kind of what it takes to get there, whether it's like work, networking, asking for it, trying to figure out a way. Like, I feel like that,
love that.
And I feel like I love how positive I've been towards myself during pregnancy. I feel like you have no idea what to expect, but like going through it, it's been like overall, I would say a positive experience. My first trimester was crazy and I was ill, but I feel blessed to be able to have been home during that time and like really get to rest and give my body that rest and like being able to look at that from like a positive mindset. Yeah. Cause that's such like a shift for me. Like I don't like resting basically. I like doing things. I like being productive. I like having a to-do list. I like checking things off the to-do list. You know what I mean? So I think like being able to have that positive mindset, like of like, oh, well I can't do this right now. And like, that's okay. So I'll just do something else. And like, rest, relax, whatever. I feel like that's what I would say right now.
That's great.
So yeah. Okay. Next one is how to transition niches or phases of life.
I feel like you would be a better person to answer this right now. I mean, I would just say like ease into it, like start talking on your stories like you've been doing.
Like, I feel like that's what I'm trying to do. Like, I don't want to be a mommy blogger, like, like in a box, a mommy blogger. Like, I want to share those things. I want to take my audience along the journey, but I don't want to ever be labeled like one thing. Cause I feel like once you grow out of that box, then like what happens with that audience if they're not going to be with you, you know? So I think like deciding how you want to approach something and how you want to share it and how much you want to share of it. And then kind of coming up with a strategy from that and then easing it in. So maybe when you first start, maybe you share something once a week, once every other week. And then as time goes on, maybe start sharing a little more, maybe once a week consistently, then maybe twice a week. And then like you get to a point, like I know I'm just going to get to a point where I'm like so pregnant. You can't, there's nothing really else to talk about besides like literally how pregnant I am, because you just can't avoid it. So I think like easing your way into that and just sharing different pieces and parts is kind of my strategy for phases of life. And like same thing with wedding planning too, like kind of sharing the journey, sharing the process, and sharing like the end result. And then you can still like keep going after that because you're not putting yourself in a box of like being a wedding content creator, if that makes sense. But I think just like finding a balance that you're happy with. I know some people who don't share anything pregnancy related at all when they're pregnant. Like they literally don't address it. They don't really talk about it, but they're clearly pregnant. Then they have the baby and they like just keep, they don't really share the baby. Like,
yeah, I guess I haven't like been paying attention.
It's like a personal preference, and like,
yeah,
you get to, it's your page, it's your content, like you get to choose what you talk about and what you don't and what you want to share. Like, you don't owe anyone anything. So if like that's not something you want to share, or you want to keep your family very private, like there's nothing wrong with that too. So I think you just have to align with like, what do you feel, how does your partner feel about these things, and then like just decide and then share what you want. So
yeah,
that's what I would say, I think. But yeah. Okay, next question is, I've been posting consistently high quality beauty content, but I'm seeing such slow progress daily on TikTok and YouTube. Any rapid growth tips?
I feel like if you're posting consistently like high quality content, I would switch up what you're doing. Like maybe like switch up the type of content you're making. Like kind of just like play around with it. What are, you know, if you're not talking and it's all like curated things, like maybe try talking. And if it doesn't hit right away, just like see how it goes a little bit. Also like asking yourself like, okay, am I being really authentic to myself? Like with what I'm sharing? I feel like there's like a little bit like you could ask yourself about your content, but I think ultimately I would switch up like the format of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think also rapid growth isn't always the best thing. Yeah. I think in my head, slow and steady wins the race, because then you're developing more of a like engaged audience, as opposed to like going viral, gaining 50,000 followers from one viral video, and then like plateauing and then not having the best engagement. So I feel like slow and steady is a lot better. And especially with, again, the algorithms that we can't control that we were talking about, like it's so hard. But I feel like kind of what like you said, Danielle, like trying and testing different types of content. So it's like you can have the same piece of content, but then post three different versions of it and see what sticks. So like one, you could be talking. One could be just quick clips of you. Like say you're putting an outfit together. One could be talking to the camera of like why you're putting an outfit together, or how you're doing it, or your thought process. One could just be the quick clips of you putting it together. That's like literally 7 seconds. And then like one, you could try a voiceover and then see which one gets the best response, and kind of do that with a bunch of different content and just kind of see. And then also I feel like it kind of takes a little bit for the algorithm to learn your content and know who to push it to. So I feel like you have to be like really consistent for like a good amount of time before, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And that's like, it can be a lot, like posting like consistently on TikTok every day for X amount of days, months, whatever is a lot.
It's a lot.
So I think just consistency, like obviously if you're posting high quality content, that's amazing. So I feel like I would ask the questions like, what's the consistency like? But I mean, I guess you said consistently high quality beauty content.
Yeah.
But then also just knowing that like TikTok might not be the place for high quality content. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people always say like TikTok is a lot more in the moment, uncurated, or at least make it look uncurated,
yeah,
like off the cuff, like more random, and like people who are on TikTok aren't necessarily looking for high quality, if that makes sense. I don't really know. I'm a curated aesthetic person, so I don't really
yeah I feel that, like just so. Switch up the
just try format. New things and try a lot of it and see
yeah
what helps, and then also using like the trending audios, or if there's like a trend that's happening, like do your spin on it. And yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah,
but I'm on team slow and steady wins the race, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no rapid.
Okay, next one. Was there a time during your journey where you ever thought about quitting, and what kept you going?
Yeah. So this was what I was referencing in the beginning of the episode. Yeah, like I feel like as much as I want to say no, there hasn't been a time where I thought about quitting. Like honestly, yeah, there was, and it was last December. I don't know what it was. Like something, I had a major shift in like my mindset and how I approached this job last December. I feel like it was a lot all at once, and that was when I realized how much pressure I was actually putting on myself, and I had no idea. Like that was the issue. I didn't know how much pressure I had put on myself for getting the perfect shot, for creating the perfect photos, like creating everything perfect. And that was like my breaking point, because I think like something happened, and like there was also stuff that happened with like where there was a lot like number wise, management wise, like where I just wasn't feeling enough. And I ultimately realized, okay, here's a little story for you. I realized how much pressure I was putting on myself because I was talking to my therapist about my family trip that I had last year in June. And there was this moment where my sister, she took so many photos of me at this one dinner. And then after this dinner, the sunset was happening, and I turn around and like the ideal table that I wanted for this sunset shot was open. And I was like, oh my gosh, Taylor, like I know you've been taking photos of me all dinner, but like this is the shot that I need. And she has social anxiety. Okay. This girly doesn't want to be taking photos of me all dinner, and that is so understandable. But she was like, oh my gosh, no, I literally have so much social anxiety right now. Like I cannot do it. And I sobbed, literally just broke down. I couldn't even control it. And that was like the breaking point for me, where I was like, oh, I'm literally putting too much of myself into this and too much pressure. And realizing that afterwards was so important, because when I thought about quitting in December, it was just so much building up. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to be a dietitian and whatever. Like, like I had a whole like story in my head if I was going to stop this, but I had to reframe it and I had to like chill. I left my management because I really just needed to reset with myself and not have any pressure or expectations with this job, and literally just do it for fun. Like I didn't take on paid partnerships like during this time, and I really just reset. So just know if you have this feeling as well, like there is something deeper, because if you truly loved it in the beginning, like I'm sure there's something deeper that's like causing these feelings of like, oh my gosh, this is it. I can't do this anymore. Like it's probably something else for me. I was putting way too much pressure and I was focusing way too hard on the numbers, like really treating the numbers as like my worth. So yeah, I really just had to remember why I started and connect back to that, and having that purpose, which Ari in one of our episodes, she had like such a great monologue on this, but like truly knowing your purpose will always pull you back. So yeah, long story short, yeah, I have. What about you?
Love that. Like it's hard too, because like obviously with management, and I get it, it's their job, but like it's like they're constantly asking for mm-hmm. insights and numbers, and so it's like again you start to feel like a number,
like you're performing,
and then and, it yeah. gets really hard mentally, because then you're like, oh, I'm not doing enough, and then it turns into I'm not enough, and then it's yep. like I'm failing, and mm-hmm. then you kind of spiral.
Yeah.
For me, I don't think I've ever had like a kind of like a come to Jesus moment of like, yeah. I'm quitting, I'm done, I'm out kind of situation. But I've definitely had moments where I'm like, is this worth doing? Like, is this, like, am I still happy doing this? Like, am I still passionate about it? Like, do I still get excited to do this? And I feel like, kind of like you said, like sitting and just like reflecting and like kind of like reiterating your why to yourself and your purpose of why you're doing what you are doing. And I feel like, honestly, for any job that could apply, it's like what keeps you going. And it's like, I love, like, everyone's journey is so different, and I feel like I love where my journey has kind of taken me and like what I've learned and, you know, the value that we have to share here on this podcast with you guys, and just, again, the connections. And I just feel like I truly like resonate with this industry and like love it so much that I want to keep doing it as long as possible. But I just feel like sometimes you just have to take that step back and reflect. And then, like you said, like take a little bit of time off. So like, yeah, my first trimester, I wanted to keep working and my body was like, absolutely not. And then once you accept it and you're okay with it, then it's like, oh, okay. Like that wasn't the end of the world. Like I am going to be fine. Like, you know, every day is a new day and like things keep moving. And just like, I don't know. I think for me, just being grounded and like being realistic with myself is what keeps me going. Like it's not that serious. It's not that traumatic. It's like not, you know what I mean? And then having just like being like, there are other industries that just like have it so much harder, or just, I don't know. Like, I know you're not supposed to compare yourself, but like, obviously we're not brain surgeons. We're not firefighters. Like we are not out there doing crazy work, you know, like we are impacting people on a different level and like inspiring and influencing and, you know, all that, but it's just, it's different. So I think just like being very grounded and realistic and level headed about it, I feel like is what keeps me going at the end of the day. So yeah. I just that. Like, and also I don't really want to do anything else. I mean, there are so many careers I would love to do. I feel like I've talked about this in episodes before, but like not right now. Like I can't be an air traffic controller right now. Now I'm
probably, I don't have time to go to school. Yeah, our alternative careers are literally like police, air traffic controller.
And like that's just like not my path.
So funny. Right now, but yeah.
Truly. So, but yeah, I just think, again, knowing your why and what drives you and what makes you so passionate about whatever you're doing is like what will keep you going at the end of the day, because the lows can be low and the highs can be high. And we talk about this like being the barrier of entry. Like there was a time when people were going, they would like have new accounts and then they were going so viral, and then they thought that was like normal engagement. And then it would obviously taper out because no one's going viral all the time.
Yeah.
And then they would be like, this sucks. I hate it. I'm quitting. And it's like, they've been doing it 6 months. Yeah. And so it's like just knowing like balance and like doing it because you're passionate and because of your whys, really what's going to keep you going. So yeah, that's what I would say. Okay. Almost done. Just a few more questions. What do you want your audience to remember this chapter of your career?
Again, love the question. This chapter of my career, I feel like I want to be remembered for, I feel like I would want it to be, let me think about this. Like I want people to be like, oh, she knows herself. Like she is authentic to herself. And she shows that. And I think I'm still working on that, but I really admire that in other people. Someone actually said this to me in person, and that really changed my perspective of things. Like this person at the spiritual event I went to, she was like, you just like know yourself. And I'm like, oh, I hope that's what I give. I really do. I hope that's what I give on social media. And like, that would be so beautiful to be remembered in this chapter by. And I hope that like I could also inspire other people to do that. And just, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, like following my passions, like sharing a different perspective of looking at life and how it can look if you have like a different perspective, I guess that too. But what about you?
I think for me, I like kind of similar, just like, I hope that my audience would remember me as just someone who, you know, goes after what they want, chases their dreams, like makes things happen for themselves and like doesn't rely on someone else to get something done. And like, I feel like too, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I feel like a lot of people are still like kind of discovering their self or discovering their style or whatever. And like, I feel like I found my style like a couple years ago and have like been so true to it. And like, yeah, even when people are like, oh, sad beige is out, like neutrals are out, neutrals are so boring, like whatever, like just those kind of statements, like I never really let that be like, oh my gosh, like I have to change who I am now because like neutrals are out. Like I feel like, yeah, I've stuck like to my style and to my core and to who I am through it. And I feel like any creators, true, who do that, you just know, because it's like, you know what you're going to get from them. And so I feel like I want my audience to know what they're always going to get from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, yeah, probably that, like,
love that. That's a
not swaying with like the trends just, yeah, because, or trying to go viral just because or whatever. Like she is who she is, and like that's her style, that's her thing. Mm-hmm. And like, you know,
yeah,
I feel like that totally probably.
I love that.
Okay, and then last question is, what are you most grateful for after 200 episodes?
Okay, what I'm most grateful for is literally every single time that someone has said like they listened to the podcast or they've learned something from the podcast. Like I can't, mm-hmm, we've gotten that so many times, and sometimes I feel like we're just recording into a black hole and like we don't actually think people like listen. But yeah, so many people have like made comments about how it's helped them so much, and I'm so grateful that we could be what we needed when we were, mm-hmm, starting out.
Yeah,
yeah,
love that. Yeah, I feel like I'm probably most grateful for just like the connections and all that we've gotten from this. Like, we haven't done anything recently, but hosting like events and stuff, like local creator events, yeah, or when we did New York, like meeting you guys in real life was truly one of the most special things ever. Or just meeting girls in real life, or like girls meeting their like now social media like BFF, yeah, in real life from our events, or like things that like, oh, or even our trips that we've hosted, you know, and like girls who have gotten friendships from other, mm-hmm, girls from all over the country, and like just that you guys would trust us to like plan a trip and travel with us, yeah, internationally is crazy. And like, but like creating those like genuine personal connections with you guys, whether, mm-hmm, again it's virtual or like in real life, is just so crazy. And honestly, the best part in my opinion.
Yeah.
And just like running into people or saying hi, or like, yeah, when people comment about an episode or just any of the amazing guests who have come on the podcast to share their insights and their wisdom with, mm-hmm, us and our audience is super grateful too. So I just think the like personal connections that, yeah, are made through social media, I feel like social media gets such a bad rap. And again, obviously there are a lot of negative sides to it, but I think if you approach it from the smart side and can foster these connections and like make friends and make like, I don't know, all that stuff. So just like the events, the trips, connecting with you guys, all of that, I feel like is really, really cool that, mm-hmm, like we obviously wouldn't have without the podcast. And the fact that this like podcast started because of Clubhouse, so crazy. Yeah,
so crazy. So thankful. I loved this episode, truly.
Yeah.
This is like, and it has to be one of my favorites.
Truly, because of you guys too, and like your support and like continuing to listen for 200 episodes.
Yeah.
Obviously, we wouldn't be here without you. So that's really special. It was really sweet too. Like this year we had so many questions about people being like, are you guys coming to Fashion Week? Like, are you going to host an event again? I really want to come to this one. Are you hosting, yeah, another trip? Like, I really want to go on one. And it's just like really special that people want to like meet up and do those things together. So I think that's, yeah, been a really great part of this. So
yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys for hanging out with us for 200 episodes.
Yes, and thank you.
More to come and whatnot, and sticking with us through these life changes and all that. Mm. Who knows what else we'll do, but hopefully we can do more stuff in the future.
Yeah.
Do you want to share our listener of the week this week?
Yes, our listener of the week is an OG listener. It is Hannah. Her Instagram handle is at Hannah, HannahSmii. Let me see how many I's there are really quick.
Three.
I think there's three. Okay. It's Hannah Smith, but with three I's in Smith. Okay. Hannah is an OG listener. Like I said, she asked some of the stunning questions that we answered today, and we're so thankful that she has been a listener since day one, and she actually went on one of our girls' trips, and that's how we met her and literally bonded for life. But she's amazing. Yeah. She's a stunning New York content creator. She talks a lot on her stories, which I love. I feel like she talks about real stuff too, and I love her style. She has like very cool girl neutral style and just really good content. So check her out if you haven't, and shout out to you, Hannah. We love you.
Yeah, I feel like she's kind of like a prime story or example of like why we love this community so much, because yeah. She's from a very small town in New York and went on our trip not knowing anyone, flying international. Like, that's a really scary thing to do. And then yes. to go on a trip with us for a week with girls you don't, I mean, you know us on social media, but like, you don't like know in person, and you're going to be spending time with them for a week straight, and then meeting so many friends and girls, and then being able to stay connected, and then having the friendship afterwards, I just feel like is truly like a testament to what we tried to emulate on our trips and our groups and like foster those friendships and whatnot. So happy she decided to go on our trip and that we got to meet, and love her so much and her content and all that. And she's so supportive too, which is just so, so sweet. So thank you, Hannah. And thank you everyone else too who has listened all the way to this episode and all of our episodes. We love you guys so much. We are so, so grateful. And I don't even know what else to say. We just truly love you guys and this community and everything that you've, you know, supported us through and the connections that we've made. And we're just so grateful. So love you guys so much. And we'll see you in our next episode. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.